been, we had some interventions as of last day of, in terms of wellness program, to try and attend to the program. There was no team spirit. We are still trying to build a team, to make people realize that we are all here for a common purpose. There was no element of division and cliques within that office. And what we did at the management level, what we then did was to move one of the directors from Villa Services to Gauteng office to try and balance the situation and stabilize the environment. We hope that is going to yield some results. But some of the people who were working there in management level have left the organization. The former director of investigations was empty, and the provincial head, he left the department and joined another department. So we hope we will be able to deal with the situation, but I think it needs a bit of time, because building trust is not something that we can do overnight. But also with regard to their ability to finalize matters despite the in-house issues, is that what we discovered with Caldeni is that we seem to be dealing with much more sophisticated criminals, inverted commas. Because when the investigations end up taking longer, it becomes difficult for us to get evidence. I don't want to stop anyone from saying they destroy evidence and clear whatever needs to be cleared, but the matters are much more complicated than in the other provinces.
I understand what you're saying, but in the end they didn't pay to do a job. That's the bottom line. And the job is not being done. And in the process, innocent people are dying, innocent people are being raped. In Gauteng, specifically. Eastern Cape's got a similar situation. It's clear that Eastern Cape also is underperforming. Just speak to us for a second or two about your challenges in terms of investigation, looking at the 9 provinces. Where do you have challenges in this program?
The challenges in the main are in Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal, and Western Cape, the big province. That is where we have the main business challenges in the competition of cases. There are issues deeper. Western Cape is the main, the issues are the travel distance. KwaZulu-Natal, most of the cases are meta cases, and we end up not being able to finalize or to close matters because of the fact that we have to wait for technical support. Gauteng is it's a combination of us internally having our own problems and not being able to work as a collective and support each other when need be, but also the fact that Gauteng, other than capacity, in the main, all the problems are capacity. We do not have enough people to do the work. That's the main issue. But then there are also these other variables that we need to be
able to. I'm not hearing you say we've got a shortage of staff. I'm not hearing you say there's any issues like that, so we accept that there's no shortage.
No, maybe I use the wrong word. Capacity, I'm talking to the number of people and the skills thereof that go into people, because it won't help us to get a group of matriculants and not necessarily looking as to whether they are also well trained to do their job. But that talks more mainly to the foot soldier.
Only 10 computers. Thank you, Chairperson. I think the first issue is that there is an issue of capacity. I mean, the fact that we moved from ICD to ICD. In an ICD environment, we investigate each and every matter that we receive in terms of this mandate. The fact that also there was a huge increase of intake, and when that opposed that to the number of personnel that we have, we did not have a similar increase. So that in itself also affected issues of the home. But it's true, something that we're also talking about in the department, the issue of when we do our own assessment, when we look to, we're going to study the response that comes from monitoring and evaluation, and look at what are the things that are done best in Christie that leads them performance level. One of the things that the executive director is that we do have a sort of an investigator forum where we will sit with all the investigators and look at these issues that affect performance and look at also the best practices in provinces like Free State and see how we make sure that they implement this.
Last question,
Madam
Chair. I'm talking to you because your friend and we're here with the community view. When we were talking about the implementation plan, we asked you to prepare it. I heard they talking about 2080. Now, what is the issues which you do not consider at the time, from any time of the this will be the last part we have about the implementation plan. From speaking about everything there, but I know you were there, I know that gentleman was there, and so can you tell us what went wrong with that information there?
Yeah, also, you know, it's nice to come here and say we saw that we didn't budget properly, but you didn't spend 26 million rand in the current budget, and last year you also had an index. And the department is responsible for the budget, for the funding. If we ask, when we do the legislation, the costing of the bill for the implementation thereof, that's where the department's got to sit down and do it. So how did this come about that you now realize that we didn't budget properly for the implementation of this bill, of this act?
No, but as far as I can remember, the costing that was done for the act, when ultimately we got allocation from FEDA, it was not in line with the costing that requested by the
Now, there's a difference between saying we didn't budget properly for the implementation of the act and Treasury didn't give us what we asked for. And the statement that was made was we didn't budget properly. That was the statement.
So, President, it is true that we subsequently established the issue of budgeting was also problematic, like the taking it here. There was more money on compensation than it should have been on there was more money on goods and services than on compensation. And it's something that we're currently trying to deal with, so that we try to take that money that's compensation to try and capacitate, so that also when we go to later, they are able to see that we were able to spend as we should. And the issue of underspending is something that is also worrying to the management. It's something that we're grappling with.
So we do. So, I'll take another round of questions, but this.
I thought you were going to ask this question, but the more you try, the more. When we talk about implementation, then, it is not only the budget was not funding the act, it included the number of people we use to make sure that we have the budget. From what I hear, it's very clear
statement is something, the underspending is something that worries management as well.
You're in control of this department.
It should not be worrying you. You should be doing something about it. I mean, it's no good coming to Parliament and saying, we are also worried about it. Why? I mean, do something about it. And I also want to, stop this thing about savings. There is no such thing as savings within a government. There's no such thing as savings. It's underspending. Bottom line. You can also respond to the members' question, and then there's also the question that the Honourable Ms. Lawler has asked, that the Executive Director must explain in her form.
Chairperson, an honourable member, the only truth is that the issue of capacity still remains an issue for us. And on the first year of implementation, the reality is that what was initially requested as a budget is not yet accepted that amount. Yes, there has been an understanding of acknowledged power, and we've indicated already to the committee what we with the
cash. If I was to, I wouldn't give you more money either. As long as you understand, you're not going to get more money. You shouldn't get more, quite frankly. And you can't blame the fact that you didn't get from Treasury what you were supposed to get, and therefore you couldn't implement properly. Because you understand. You could have asked for pyramids, you could have asked for all kinds of things. You didn't. You'd rather understand. What was your understanding for last year? For the previous financial year? What was your understanding? This year is 2600. What was it the previous year?
2000.
Tell me?
2000.
So from 2000 to 26 million.
Although we
we've got a note up. Let's see. Any other questions still outstanding? Still new questions? Any new questions? I definitely have.
I have a new one. New question.
Honourable thoughts?
The outcome of the sanction that they gave the member of the conference in the respect of that. as well as the others on 49 and 55. So this is the feedback that we have from the city. This was the outcome of their disciplinary process. Remember, this disciplinary process will run parallel to the criminal process, and we don't have a power to them how they run that process and the outcome of that, of that process. So this is what they give us as the outcome of that process.
Are you telling us, I'm coming back to you, are you telling us that your recommendation just simply says disciplinary? It doesn't say that we recommend that the member be dismissed. But that may be part of the weakness.
The moment a recommendation for disciplinary action is made, then the Labor Relations Act kicks in. So that has to be done in terms of that act. You could say in terms of that act, the management is going to be, which makes it the responsibility of us to do it. And the fact that we've made a recommendation, that not necessarily, we cannot recommend a sanction before the hearing has taken place. The purpose of the hearing is to afford the person who has been suspected of having committed a particular transgression to say it to you. And for the manager's probability to then make a finding of what has been done, is a process that falls totally outside of ICIC. Unless there is any law, he provides contrary to the Labor Relations Act. At the moment, you could be still remaining in the internal track, it should be constituted by the management issue. So that is what we are telling you when we say we have no control over how they conduct the discipline, what evidence they need, which witnesses they call, and how whether they are able to aggravate, and what mitigation factors have been put forward by the person, and the decision of the presiding officer. We don't keep to those. The only time where we take part is when we are called in to come and testify, and it ends there.
Honorable Stewart.
Yes,
I'll
just
back to the previous year and say case number 49 still at NDP. know whether there's still an oral opportunity. But we can all put in written questions about these things and why this was the outcome of that disciplinary hearing. So the Honourable Sabia can put a question to the minister on 29 for clarity on why this was the outcome of that specific case. So there are ways for us to get that information. But I take the point of the Honourable Sabia going forward, one wants to be able to track what happened to these things. It's in your interest as well. And that's why I asked the question also around what systems have you put in place. Honourable George, you wanted to make a follow-up?
No, Madam Chair, I was not to respond, but last week, one of the areas suspended were the family clubs, where these things of suspended disputes are suspended disputes, even in cases where we believe that we even have other serious questions to us. I agree with you, Madam Chair, this is more a problem of SARS, which I think we must find a way of being.
We have on our agenda members. If I can remind you that they must come back to us in terms of the new disciplinary code that they agreed upon once they finalised it with the work in the bargaining councils as well. So I think in our report going forward, our legacy report is something that we should leave for the next parliament as well, and something that they should be focusing on is the disciplinary process, so that it does not get lost. Any outstanding questions on this one? Is there anything else? I'm still waiting for the 15% and the 73%. And the systemic corruption. We've lost one question now.
Chairperson, the systemic corruption measures, we realized from the report about two cases from three paper completed. But those were done in collaboration with the clearly referred to this because of the nature of that investigation, we didn't have capacity to deal with it. So we engaged with the police to handle those matters. The other matters are also handled, they are still not completed, they are handled in collaboration with the police. However, what we have done, we have since developed a strategy on systemic corruption that will inform the department moving forward how to deal with the issues of systemic corruption. Hence, you will realize that in our strategic documents for 13-14, we also need to set a specific reference to dealing with systemic corruption.
My problem is you say too completed. What does it mean? It means the case is closed. It means it's gone to the prosecutor. What does it mean?
As I've been indicated, in those specific two matters, related to matters that happened at the school to South Africa border. So they were referred to the SAPS to deal with
it. But then you lost it with the years completed.
To deal with, because it's not a
capacity. But then you wrong to report it years completed. Then you must say it is with SAPS because you've got a responsibility to keep an eye on that. You've got a responsibility to see that SAPS follow through on that issue. SAPS should report back to you and say, this is the outcome of this investigation. I mean, to tell us then that two has been completed is absolutely not the truth.
I take your point, Chairperson. And because this method we shared with ourselves and SAPS, so, and the major part of the investigation is done by the SAPS, I think that is not a capacity. And, we will look at that report. Because, like the point that we still need to call out.
Is that where the Honourable Stubbs point now comes in around this list that you've given us as well? If that is your interest in the six cases of systemic corruption, and your interest is basically, we've referred it to such, so whatever happens, happens. And you report it to us as completed. It's misleading. And then his point around what happens to these cases becomes the underlying this whole issue. There's no follow through. Surely if you refer something to SAPS, they should report back to the outcome of it so that you can report on it. You can't report. You've misled us. You've absolutely misled us by saying these two cases. report, it becomes observable actually with referring to such, and we don't know what the status is. Did you report them as completed? You are going to report us by next week. In the 90s, what is the status of these cases? In fact, all the six systemic corruption cases, because according to you, all of them are now handled by SAPS.
they must report to the minister and then send us the proof. We don't want to have a legal matter to find the minister and not that. Question 23, the one that creates offenses and penalties, it only refers to their inability to comply with the reporting obligation in section 29. The reporting obligation in section 29 talks to an instance where a staff member has committed a criminal offense which falls within the mandate of IT.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. I'm asking that report that you've given me, because you refer to it, you can go to the slide. What action did you take?
On the section 33 matters, we will recommend criminal prosecution and submit it to the DPP. Where we have challenges with the DPP not wanting to prosecute, it was mostly in the Northwest Province and Free State. It was mostly in the majority of them were in Free State. The prosecution refused to prosecute because they believe that these are petty offenses when they have serious offenses. And there were few in the Eastern Cape. What we then did to try and deal with those issues where the DPP refused to prosecute staff members. We then, we had written to the acting director of public prosecutions at that time, and she had promised that she would take care of the matter and make sure that all these matters are attended to by her office. But up to this date, with the changes in the prosecution environment, she was then not able to carry through with that, and we hope that we'll then be able to talk to the now appointed National Director of Public Prosecutions and strategize on how can we deal with this thing. Because unfortunately, the DPP made the decisions on whether they want to prosecute or they don't want to prosecute. All we do is make recommendations for prosecution, but the decision still lies in the prosecution and not the
state. But you don't report to Parliament and say to Parliament, we've got a problem. Far as the prosecutors do not want to prosecute these issues. That's what you do. You're not reporting to us that you have a problem. I ask specifically what are the challenges. That's fine. If you don't see Parliament as a partner in assisting you, that's fine by us. To keep you responsible on your own. Because we also have counterparts called the Committee of Justice.
Chair, I do not think we don't see the bill that is being added by Parliament as a Control Committee. But we thought that given the fact that we all fall within the same JCP, let's try and resolve the problem there. And if it fails at national level, then we can challenge the matter out.
Honourable George?
Get this letter. I mean, it's
opportunity so that you should know. You know, the problem is if we don't get information, we start getting suspicious. That question was one of the first questions this morning. We're almost at the end of the day. I suggest you go out and get the answer. I'll summarize and throw number two. Sorry, just before I do, I think the one thing where IFAS has also been quiet on in terms of the reality of the recommendations, Honourable John, specifically the worship race, it was also raised by the Secretariat, and it's something that we as a committee have raised, of course, the quality of recommendations. That there are problems with the quality of the recommendations going through the steps. Now, if the recommendation is badly written, SAPS is going to mark it. You remember, I think where was that we found the report investigating one officer but referring to four different officers in the report. If you see that kind of recommendation through the subs, they're going to laugh at you because you're then giving them the leeway not to act. And I hope that you're attending to quality issues. And we know it's also been reported yesterday as one of the challenges of the Secretariat experience, is that such said the quality of the report was vague, was problematic, etc. And I know that has been up with you previously as well. I'm talking about the fact that it's not disclosed. That's what I'm talking about. When we ask about challenges. You did say you've now got a monitoring unit, etc. But we don't want to see a situation like we have in SAPS where person A was supposed to be doing the job, is not doing it, and then we appoint person B and we appoint person C to check on person B to check on person A. We don't want that kind of situation. The people who must do the job must do it. Program 2 summary. We want an up-to-date status report on all recommendations that has been generated. In other words, recommendations to SAPS, recommendations acted upon, and then in future a quarterly report, but we will communicate that to the Minister as well, that we want a quarterly report because it should be even that it continues to do that. To follow a different reporting system in the annual report that composes of the data for the previous year together with the outstanding matters, new cases, total cases, etc. The way you present it makes it extremely difficult for us to see. There's been an increase in taking up the argument, so because the marrying of the previous cases outstanding, the new cases coming in, makes it difficult. So, and what we do miss as well is 2011-12, this was the number, 2012-13, this is the number, so that one can compare it. But we also want to warn items. 3/4 of your report is made up out of statistics. Now, I'm not saying don't put in that statistics. What we are saying is be careful that you don't run into the same kinds of trouble as SAPS is currently running into. So the question becomes the credibility of your statistics. And we also want to see, and we said that performance committee, I think we said it when you were there, but we definitely said it the years before that as well. As much as with the Secretariat, we want to see IFAD starting to, in its report, having a more strategic approach as well. Saying, we found in these investigations that, and I'm talking of the companies, do not say on a deep statement, do not quote me saying that I said this is practice, so on. We have found that rape in police custody happens after 11 o'clock at night, people set officers are back on duty. But that's sectarian in terms of policies, etc., etc. And we're not getting that level of strategic evaluation of the work that you are doing. And we've raised that with the secretariat as well. We also believe the secretariat is weak in that regard, that they're not giving strategic direction on this issue. We also want to report on the disciplinary crisis outcome from that you sent through to us. You say you do have a form, a reporting format for such to report back on within stipulated time frames of the governmental disciplinary cases or criminal convictions. We ask you to sharpen up on that and if necessary make it part of your MOU with such. Once you have finalized your strategic document on systemic corruption, the committee would like to have a copy of it. When do you see it being finalized?
Before
the end of the plan. Ish. Another 6 months. Huh? You've had this mandate now for what? I don't think so.
We're
I think so. Okay. And then we want to see this environment filling into positions. And again, I'm not talking about the top positions that are not in your hands, but filling in vacancies. And we definitely do not want to see an underspending in investigations. This is your core business. Can we move over to legal services next? Okay, continue.
Investigation advisory service. The indicator there was percentage of investigation
in which we can ask our for requested. There also the target was to determine baseline, and we did determine baseline, and out of the overall total of letters that we received, we discovered that the percentage went up to 95%. The last indicator was percentage of legal opinions provided to investigators within 24 hours of request. The target was to determine baseline, and baseline was determined. And in the 2013-14 ATP, the target is now indicated. And that is, in short, what legal services had to do last year.
Merit, any questions on this? Honourable Global. Any other members?
Continue.
No, my question may be the last one. I must say, it is very important that the legal opinion provided to me in this case would be 24 hours. I think that's important. But my worry is the same issue with the children. And then, previously, you were saying you put limitations in terms of personnel in the legal services. How sure are you that you believe in the team's division is good, 100%?
Honourable Dover?
The main target was to determine yes, capacity is indeed a problem, because as I've indicated before, legal services currently have 8 people, 3 of them are admin, and only 5 are professionals. So the capacity is not sufficient if we really want to fully support and augment investigation. Because the issue of the quality of investigation should, in actual fact, is supposed to be an issue that lies within legal services. When legal services speaks with doctors and investigation files to say, if you want to press charges against this particular member on these matters, please cover the following gaps, or make sure that you have statements that talk to this issue. So, and also advice on how evidence can then be lined up. We do not have the capacity to do that now. And as a result of that, then some of the quality issues then fall through the cracks. And there is no active and proactive engagement with NCA on some of the matters, because ideally, by the time we go to NCA, legal services should have okayed this thing to say, here you can set charges and prove the following cases. Or here the main charge should be this and the alternative should be the following. So that is not currently happening. It was not necessarily a priority at that time for legal services. But given the capacity constraints, it may also still not be possible to do that. With regards to the issue on the service level agreement, what happened, this is a function of system. There were lots of committees that were set up, I think coming from ICDH, going to IT. With this particular one, the BID committee was under the view, or they had the impression that they had decisions, they had power to make decisions. And that was contrary to the provisions of the Public Finance Management Act. The Public Finance Management Act gives the authority to the accounting officer. And as much as the accounting officer can delegate authority, you cannot delegate authority in terms of administrative law to a committee, to a structure. You can delegate authority to a functionary. And a functionary talks to a person. You need to be able to hold somebody to account on it. So this committee, their job was to make a recommendation for appointment of service providers or procuring of certain services to the head of the department, who will then have to apply his or her mind to make a decision. So what happened previously, most of these were approved by the BID committee. They never went to the executive authority. And that is why I said, colleagues, we need to correct this thing. It might have happened and it was allowed previously, but I cannot be the head of legal services and allow us to continue doing this wrong. It cannot. Committees make recommendations. And then the functional responsible in terms of the act then makes the decision. That was the background within which they were referred back to say the committee speaks, has to have to appoint the service provider before the approval of the contract. Because in some instances we find that the committee has appointed service provider A. I'll make an example of the security company. They appoint a security company, and when then in the end you come and look at this thing, you find that the recommendations from state security agency, whether there are problems with that security company in terms of one or many of the individuals that are going to be posted in our environment, and we are seeing the security cluster. We cannot have people that are not vetted. That's number one. Two, they appoint a security company which does not have any membership with FIRA. Those people are all foreigners. They are not even, if they were to commit a crime, you can't even track and trace them because these people are not profiled in South Africa. So those are some of the things that I said. We need to make sure that we have those checks and balances in place. The committee can make recommendations, but the accounting officer, when applying his mind to decide whether to approve or not to approve, there are certain factors outside of what the committee might have looked at that person has to look at. So isn't it correct that because it was not done so far? As far as I'm concerned, it was not in compliance with the Public Finance Management Act. On the investigation advisory services, the challenge that we face with is that the issues of prior applications, the applications where people made in terms of the Access to Information Act were not attended to. Because in terms of that act, the information officer is the executive, it's the accounting authority, which is the executive director. But that function was not delegated anywhere else. And what was happening when those requests come, even in some instances there was a request that come, people wanting information on an investigation that we have conducted, and maybe the person in the end was found not guilty. Now they want to use the information to sue the state. there you need these authorities to deal with it. So what he did was that even though we did not have the mandate to set up the priority of the foundation, we needed to deal that as a legal issue because there are legal implications in everything that we do. There are certain types of information that we cannot provide. We cannot just provide under the tribunal to do that. So it includes those higher applications. It includes issues of policing powers because as much as we did a lot of work there, ensuring that people are properly checked and the applications are made to the minister, it seems that we could not account for if we had left them out and did not include them here. And yet, in the 2013-14 ACP, we then separated this to say we are doing a lot of work in this area. And we have to be able to account for them. But in the manner in which the previous agency was drafted, we could not account for them. And unfortunately, we could not just ignore that because we have done a lot of work in it, and it should account for the time that we spent on that type of work. So this, what we did was then to lump anything that comes to problem to investigation.
The rest of the questions have been included, short, please.
Do I believe whether the problem still have to stand on its own? I don't believe it
was
not just something with 8 people. We hope we'll be able to expand the capacity right now. But unfortunately, we only have 8 people at the moment. And if we're to prioritize, as we have done, we prioritize investigation, which is core business, before any other process. That's the unfortunate situation that we are in. But we hope that as we plan drafting the ACP going forward without, because the problem that we had last year was that the budget structure only talked to 8 people. And members will remember when we presented today, we were unable to change the budget structure at the time when the plan was finalized because the budgeting process took place long before we could even discover that we had problems here. But going forward, we hope to be able to influence it to get, even if we get one practitioner, but we do need more people. But the problem can do more. We can expand that and make sure that we drive the prosecution side of the investigation. And we look at investigation with the eye of the matter being in court, what exactly we will be looking for.
Continue,
Have we ever contested some outcomes on the disciplinary hearing? The answer is no. We have not.
Honourable George, you don't think it's less value in you as things? I don't think SAS will be a bit more careful if there's actually an item to take to the recommendation. Not participating, attending.
I think there will be a lot of value if we were to do that. But due to capacity constraints, if we were to balance the scale, we would have focused more on the investigation because that's our core business. Without the funding, as if we don't take the disciplinary hearing within some period, but we do not have the capacity to be able to do it.
When you've got a whole dead program of legal services, maybe just by the honourable judge.
May I say, in the light of the answer she gave to my question, I was going to ask that this matter of discussing out legal services especially in the light of what you said yourself, that the NGPP is also giving problems. Because now, if you don't have the strong legal advice, I don't want to talk about another department, but it would be vital to have these strong legal people in making sure that the cases you refer, especially in the NGPP, for the strong people to challenge them when they do some of the things.
I don't know whether I agree with you. I think we still need to acquire minds about this. I don't believe the program as it is, the work that is going to justify a second program. I think we need to look at what they bring to us in future around this program. You can't have a separate program with 9 people. Just that doesn't make sense. Even if you extend to what you're saying tonight. Is there any follow up before I allow them to, have you got the answers now to the other questions? Have you got the answers to the other questions?
Thank you, Chairperson. We consulted with finance and HR, it was because it's the six board parties. But in respect of the movement 8 million in 2013, what were the contributors to that in light of the fact that there was no real movement in the personnel figures? There were three contributors to this. One was your pay progression, which were effected for salary levels 1 to 12 as well as 60 members. The others were your salary increases. But the main contributor which is creating this unexpected increase was the upgrade of certain positions, your case analyst and your monitors during that financial year in order to capacitate them for the implementation of the ISIS Act. Case analysts were upgraded from salary level 5 to salary level 7, and your monitors were upgraded from salary level 7 to salary level 8. So as much as your personnel numbers didn't necessarily change, but you had increases in the salary levels for those who experienced those
upgrades. And that we have to wait for the question. Now, we want the breakdown of what you just said. The cost, the number of positions, the 6,000, according to that. And then you will remember we're still waiting for the bonus issue this morning to be delivered after. Okay, Mr. Meeting, we now come to the last part of the meeting, and I want you to be brief. So, as in literally very brief. We want to know what have you asked additional for from Treasury. We understand that the amounts that you are giving us are not necessarily going to materialize, so please don't come with a long argument that you can't give it to us because it's not finalized. What are you asking for, and what is the purpose of that extra money that you're asking for? Can we get a quick briefing on that, please? Yes. 13, 16.
13, 16, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, and 2015-17 87.3 million.
87.3. Members, any question on these? Any last comments from your side, Mr. Peggy? We believe that both the Secretariat and I discussed extremely important roles to play in terms of oversight, civilian oversight over the police. And for that reason, we will keep on putting pressure on you. We will keep our foot on the pressure. We shall stop doing that. You must know that we've written you off. As long as we are doing it, it's because we are supporting you and we want to see you do better. If we start out ignoring you, then you're in trouble, because then we've decided there's no use for you. Secondly, I want also to thank, but I'm not going to repeat all the issues that we have highlighted in summary. You know what they are. They will be in our report as well. And that we do also to see that we do get a better service out of IPAD, but also a better understanding of what the work that we are doing. Secondly, let me allow me also to thank members. You know, many other committees have already finished the annual reports. This committee still goes on full day tomorrow, and which is not going to be an easy day. We all know that. It's not going to be an easy day with Sierra. And I want to thank members for their commitment, for being here, Kevani for the research committee,